Pushkin.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Ariel Sabar, and I wrote The Billion-Dollar Ponzi Scheme That Hooked Warren Buffett and the U.S. Treasury for The Atlantic magazine, and it's the story of the week.
Back in 2007, I invited the actor and environmentalist Ed Begley Jr. over to my house. Because while there's tons of information online about making your home more environmentally responsible, I can only hear things when a celebrity says them to me. After running back to his electric car for a compass, Begley determined that my house's south side was too well shaded for solar panels. I was super disappointed to find out that a major adult celebrity carries a compass in his car. I mean, is he telling his agent to meet him at the new restaurant at latitude 24.07026, longitude negative 118.36032? So I got a pass from Begley on the solar panels. But that was actually my last house. My new one seems a lot sunnier. But the problem is that everyone who sells solar panels seems like they're working a scam. I mean, I'm sure they're not, but also, they totally are.
Writing is hard. Who's got that kind of time when you're already busy trying to be Joel Stein? So it turns on a mic, maybe twiddles a knob, calls a journalist friend who's got an actual job. Auditory, single story, just listen to smart people speak. Conversation filled with information, it's the story of the week.
Ariel Sabar wrote a profile for The Atlantic about a guy named Jeff Karpoff who had no college education, no background in engineering, but was able to create a multi-billion dollar solar panel company. Well, sort of. Ariel, like most of the great stories I tell, yours is about a car mechanic. And this mechanic, Jeff Karpoff, he fell on some hard times, right?
So around 2007, you know, he was this kind of paunchy 30-something car mechanic living in this small town of Martinez, California, which is kind of a refinery town. And so he grows up there, kind of this working class household. He loves cars. He gets in trouble a lot as a high schooler. He graduates from high school and he starts trying to open his own garages. It doesn't go particularly well for him. Like he opens one, it just doesn't generate enough money. He's out of work. He doesn't know what he's going to do with his future.
But now his business is going under. So what is he going to move on to?
He basically like harvests a bunch of weed and he tries to sell it through this marijuana dispensary in San Jose. And I interviewed the founder of the dispensary and he's like, yeah, I remember Jeff Karpoff. He came down, he tried to interest me in his weed. And like, we only sell like really high grade stuff. And we took this to this lab we used and it was like just terrible. And he's like, there's no way we're going to carry this stuff. And so once again, Jeff Karpoff is sort of faces another kind of business failure.
So, okay, just so I can get a picture of this guy, is he really charismatic? Like, what is he like?
He's unusual. He's a charming guy in a kind of like a Bubba-like way. He's like the guy who's going to throw his arm around your shoulder and say, hey, man, you want to come and take a spin in my 1970 Chevelle? Like, he's got these awesome muscle cars, but he's going to feel you're going to kind of feel cool around him. And, you know, he has this sort of ruddy face. He has a big goatee. What's interesting about him is it's this kind of working class charm. It's not a like Wall Street charm.
Yeah, it's not slick.
It's not slick. It's kind of like Bo Duke and the Dukes of Hazzard going, yeehaw!
All right, so in 2007, he's lost his house. He's declared bankruptcy. He's had a mechanic business has failed. He apparently can't make decent weed. So what does he turn to?
So he gets this phone call from a former client at his garage. This client's like, listen, man, I've got some solar panels I've just come into. I need someone to help me sell them. And he's talking to one of his neighbors. And one of his neighbors is like, yeah, you know, I've always thought about putting solar panels on my roof, but like, I only live here on the weekends. And I'm worried that these things are going to get stolen off the roof of my house. So Jeff Karpoff, being Jeff Karpoff, has this kind of like aha moment where he's like, wait a second, why do solar panels have to be on the roof? Like, what if you put them on a car trailer? You can wheel out into the sun when you're at your vacation home so that you can power your home. But when you're not there, you can put it in the garage, or you can just like hitch it to the back of your car and take with you wherever else you happen to be going. So he goes out, he gets a patent.
Oh.
The patent's title is literally as simple as trailer with solar panels. Like, it's just, there's nothing else to it.
He can do this because he's a mechanic.
He's a mechanic, although he has no training in solar engineering. And when I talked to his brother-in-law, Bobby, he's like, yeah, I didn't know anything about solar. I just figured it out. It's like, good thing they got Google and all that.
This is the Peter Thiel argument against college.
Kind of, yeah. And so like these investors who live not far from him, they get wind of Jeff Karpoff building what sounds like solar on wheels. These entrepreneurs sort of have Jeff wheel it out to like an empty parking lot. And they're like kind of gobsmacked by it. It's so simple. And it makes so much sense. Like, why should solar be fixed? Why can't we make something that you can take on wheels to a construction site, to a concert venue, to a movie set that can send renewable, clean power to users who need power on the go? And they were thinking, Jeff, no, this is not an anti-theft device. This is mobile solar power. This is like a disruptive...
It's a generator.
This is disruptive technology. So he goes to Daytona Beach and he basically pretends to be this like revolutionary inventor who's on the verge of releasing this like world-changing solar product. And he sort of calls up this real estate agent and he says, I want you to show me a bunch of mansions in Daytona Beach. I'm in the market. Now, of course, while he's doing this, he's basically broke. So he goes to this real estate agent and he basically says, look, yeah, I'm shopping for mansions. Oh, by the way, you must have a lot of really, you know, affluent clients. Is there anyone in your world who you think might be interested in investing in like a revolutionary solar product? And this real estate agent is like, yeah, I actually know this woman in New York. And through her connections in the world of New York finance, Karpoff gets connected with some of the top people in this very arcane world of tax credit financing.
So this company, is it called DC Solar?
Yeah, it's called DC Solar.
Okay, and so he finds out about these tax credits, which, how do those work?
Yeah, so basically since like the 1970s, oil crisis, when you had like long lines of cars waiting at gas stations to fill their tanks. Congress has tried to encourage investment in alternative energy. And so they created something called the investment tax credit. Basically, what it does is it gives businesses who buy solar equipment a tax credit. And that tax credit for a long time used to be just 10%. In 2005, Congress tripled the incentive.
Okay, so that makes it just 30% cheaper for people to buy these things.
Correct. The taxpayer is subsidizing the purchase, essentially. And so the tax credits become really attractive, such that like there comes a moment when Karpoff realizes that what people are really interested in is less my mobile solar device than the tax credits they can get for buying them.
But why? They still have to pay 70% for this overpriced thing.
Ah, but they don't. Jeff Karpoff's scheme, was the brilliance of his scheme, is that he allowed buyers of his generators to put just 30% down.
The full money they're getting back from the government.
Like all you have to put down, you know, big corporation who wants to buy my solar generator, is the 30% that you're going to get back anyway from the government at the end of the year. So it costs you nothing. You just put down 30% now, you'll get it back at the end of the year. I, Jeff Karpoff, and DC Solar will loan you the remaining 70% that you owe me, and you'll gradually pay it back because I will be renting your generators for you and getting lease money for doing that.
So there are these other companies that are buying the generators for only the 30%, which they get back in tax credits.
Correct.
Jeff is then renting out to other, the ones that these new companies own, he's renting them out and giving the profits on the rentals to this other company. What kind of companies are these that are buying these things that they don't even bother physically owning? Jeff's just renting them out to other people. What kind of companies make these purchases?
These are like blue chip companies. These are like some of the most stable, most sort of like venerable firms in America.
Like who?
Like Geico, like Progressive Insurance, like Sherwin-Williams, the paint company.
What?
Like,
wait, why is the paint company buying generators that they're renting out to other people?
One of the things that all of these companies have in common is that they're not particularly exciting. They're not particularly innovative. But what they do have is a very predictable revenue stream every year. So they know that at the end of the year, you're going to have like this much profit, and they need to do as much as they can to reduce their tax burden at the end of the year. So what a lot of these companies do is they invest in these tax credit investments that give them tax breaks and a little bit of additional income, lease income usually.
And what kind of numbers are we talking about? Like for Berkshire Hathaway or Sherwin-Williams, how many generators are they buying? How much are they spending?
So Sherwin-Williams was their first big buyer, and they bought $29 million worth, which for a guy who was broke, worked, you know, high school educated mechanic, to make that much money overnight was just like, he just was living large, as anybody would.
How does he react to that?
Oh, he's over the moon. And almost immediately, he takes out like $1.3 million cash and buys himself a new house on the highest hill in Martinez, where he can basically look down on all the people who thought he'd never amount to much. Suddenly, it's like, look at me now, man. Look at me now. Look what I did.
He closes this huge $29 million deal with Sherwin-Williams. He's getting deals from Geico. These are real companies. They must be like, you know, kicking the tires on this thing, right?
They're not. you know, they are just happy to work, have their tax lawyers talk with Jeff Karpoff's tax lawyers, fill out some forms. In some cases, there were site visits, not many. They were really just interested in making sure that they were following kind of the letter of the law.
Did those site visits go okay?
Yeah. I mean, Jeff Karpoff was really good at making investors believe that the generators they were looking at belonged to them. But what he'd actually do was he'd basically sell the same generators over and over again to multiple buyers. And I talked to one of Jeff Karpoff's salesmen at the time, and he said, you know, I went in there shortly before the Sherwin-Williams inspection, and I noticed that like the first row of generators was fully assembled. They looked fine. But like the rows behind them were not. And if you actually knew what you were looking at, you'd realize that these things were only like half built. And he had hidden all the sort of half assembled ones behind the fully assembled ones. And apparently this was enough to fool the inspectors for Sherwin-Williams.
That's a paint company. They're detail oriented.
You think, yeah.
How many is he actually making versus what he's selling?
So in the end, over a period of 7 years, he sells about 17,000 of these mobile solar generators.
Oh.
In actuality, only 6,000 have been manufactured. And investors have no idea that they're basically all co-owning the same generator, yet receiving independent tax credits for the purchase of all of them.
When we come back, Jeff Karpoff's scheme runs into a big problem. But first, our advertisers are going to tell you about a great opportunity. All you have to do is start a podcast and get three of your friends to start a podcast and get them to get three of their friends to start a podcast. You can't lose.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you.
Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to Musora.com, Musora.com, to start a new musical journey today.
Jeff Karpoff has gone from car mechanic to this solar panel entrepreneur. How are the panels he's making if he has no real engineering skills?
When they work okay. The trouble is they weren't particularly reliable. They go bad in some pretty awful places fairly early on. So the power cut off during the filming of Disney's Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very good, bad day.
Although all too appropriate for that movie.
All appropriate. It was definitely not a great day for Karpoff either. There's another story we heard where Pink's trailer lost air conditioning at an MTV concert.
Oh, you don't want that. You don't want an angry Pink.
No.
That's Pink with two exclamation points. Yeah.
And so what Jeff Karpoff started doing was attaching 100-gallon diesel generators to the solar generator as a backup, so that if there was a breakdown or if there was a string of cloudy days, you'd have a diesel generator kick in.
Okay.
And so there were some technical difficulties, and the expense, the fact that they were charging $150,000 for these things, or claimed to be able to get that much, meant that there was no one really interested in buying them, and also very, very few people interested in leasing them for the long term. Short-term leases, sure. So Jeff could not lock in those long-term leases. And those long-term leases were what underpinned his business model. So he can't find these leases, and that puts him in a pickle, because if he can't raise money for the leases, he can't pay back the 70%.
Right.
So he's in a pickle, and he has a few options at that point. He can either shut down the business.
I know enough about Jeff Karpoff now to know that that's not even a consideration.
Not a consideration. He wants to keep this great thing going. He wants to keep this snowball rolling until it's larger than life. And that's what he decides to do. He and some of his associates have a meeting in 2012 in which they decide, like, well, wait a second. We're still able to convince a lot of these blue chip companies to buy our solar devices as a tax credit investment. So I think we can close like a number of additional deals worth hundreds of million dollars. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take that money from new sales and not use them to build new generators. But we're going to give most of that money, not all of it, because we want some for ourselves, but give most of that money to earlier investors. And we're going to make them think that money is coming from the leases of their generators, when it's not.
Oh, that's just pure Ponzi scheme, right?
Pure Ponzi, yeah.
Okay.
Pure Ponzi with a twist, because in most Ponzi schemes, you have to raise all of that money that you need to give to the last guy. What's awesome about this, or terrible, is that in this case, Jeff's load is lightened by the fact that the American taxpayer is subsidizing it through the tax credits.
Right.
So he doesn't have to come up with
So it's a Ponzi scheme with a 30% discount.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets a 30% write-off on his Ponzi, on the amount.
That's not enough. You're still screwed eventually.
You're still screwed eventually. It buys you time.
So he's taking in all this money through this Ponzi scheme. Is he spending it? Like, what's he doing with all this money?
He's definitely spending it, you know, on muscle cars, on luxury seats at the new NFL stadium in Las Vegas, on private jet service. But he's also using it to kind of tell a story, which is interesting. You know, he's basically surrounding himself with this sort of like mythology that he is this embodiment of the American dream.
Right.
And so like when he would pull into work in the morning, like a hard rock version of the Star Spangled Banner would like thunder from the speakers of his red pickup truck.
Oh, man.
He later installed this like giant, like 6-panel photograph of the American flag on his factory walls and claimed that his family said the Pledge of Allegiance instead of grace at holiday meals.
That's awesome.
And then one of my favorite moments, which I actually found in an old episode of Counting Cars, which is a reality TV show.
Oh,
he goes into like a custom car place in Vegas and he says, I want a motorcycle with an America-themed paint job. He wants like the Statue of Liberty on the side of the tanks, like waving the American flag. And he wants like a kind of an image of the Constitution on the back of the bike that says, "We the people."
And you wrote this thing that blew me away about him and Cash at his meetings.
Oh yeah, he loves Cash. So he would like come into the office like randomly with like shopping bags full of cash. Like he just, of no discernible provenance. But he'd come in with like bags of cash, walk through the accounting department, and you can imagine their horror, like unaccounted for cash if you're a professional accounting department. He's like, "Hey guys, look what I got." He'd open up his plastic bag. He's like, "There's $250,000 of cash in this bag." And I got another guy who I spoke to. He remembered walking past his office one day and noticing that Jeff had his like giant cash safe open, and he had just this huge pile of cash on his desk. It was like a pile so large that if you two people were sitting on opposite sides of the desk, they wouldn't have been able to see each other. And he would do things too to make people just feel like super lucky to work for him. So at the end of like all hands business meetings, which were held once a month, he would reach into his pocket, pull out like a giant wad of cash, and he'd go around the room asking each of his employees to guess how much cash was in his fist. And whatever employee came closest to guessing its sum would get the cash. And it was fun. It was like you were in a casino. Like you might be this working class guy putting together generators all day, but guess what? If you guessed that he had $3,000 in his hand, that money was yours to take home and do with what you wanted. And the other thing he would spend his money on were really, really big parties. Now, DC Solar at its like largest had like maybe 100 employees, but he would throw these lavish Christmas parties at the Fairmont Hotel. It's one of the nicest hotels in San Francisco. And he's paying for live private performances by like the pop band Sugar Ray, by the rapper Pitbull, by the country band Big and Rich, just for his employees, with like elaborate light shows, go-go dancers, full video production for 100 employees.
How does he show off in front of his employees?
At some point, I wasn't exactly sure when, he comes up with this nickname for himself, which is that he's no longer just Jeff Karpoff. He's Jeff motherfucking Karpoff. Becomes such a well-known acronym. He just basically abbreviates it to JMFC. So like he would have like JMFC emblazoned on, I don't know, hats, and also on his parking space outside of work would say JMFC. He would openly refer to himself at these holiday parties as Jeff motherfucking Karpoff. So he loved like sort of like basking in the limelight of his success. But he also, I think, was smart about it, because if you're running a criminal scheme, your employees are probably having some doubts and some questions, but you need to make them have such a great time that they're like, "You know what? I don't need to look too closely at whether these generators work." So he's giving them a great time.
No, it's the opposite. He's got cash everywhere. He's like Scarface. I would definitely question this. Okay, are investors at all starting to catch on?
They are eventually starting to develop some suspicions. And I think, you know, there is word does start to leak that the IRS has begun audits, because the numbers don't really work. The IRS has to be sure if you're claiming a $45,000 tax credit on a $150,000 purchase, the IRS wants to be sure that the thing you're selling is actually worth $150,000. So the IRS starts looking at, well, how much are these things actually worth? And once they actually do an audit, they decide that these devices aren't worth $150,000. They're worth $13,000.
Oh, so not even close.
Not even close. Yeah.
So even while the IRS is investigating, is the Obama administration still into this company and giving them all these tax breaks?
The Obama administration is certainly interested in combating climate change. And one of the initiatives that they launch is this program called the Smart City Challenge. And so amazingly, like DC Solar gets chosen to be among the companies that are part of this Smart City Challenge. And so
shouldn't the IRS have warned them not to put them on this list?
I'm not really sure how those kinds of communications happen.
So now that the walls are kind of closing in, they're running out of time, how do they react?
So Jeff and his wife have kind of really different reactions. Like Jeff Karpoff still like outwardly seems to be having the time of his life. But Paulette, who's kind of behind the scenes, who's helping run the company, she has to do kind of all the dirty work in the sense of like making sure that everybody stays in line. The Karpoffs actually installed dozens of these surveillance cameras around their office and shop floor. And Paulette would like look at all the feeds from these cameras, which played on like a really big TV screen in her office. So like she was constantly looking at like who's going into what office, like why is that person spending so much time in the bathroom? That's suspicious. She was sort of a short woman, but she was very sort of powerful within the company and the employees lived in fear of her. And she also apparently had this plaque on her desk that said, "I'll be nicer if you'll be smarter." And that persona was amplified by these two large dogs, Belgian Malinois, one named Diesel, interestingly enough, the other Fu, which I think means crazy in French. One of them was trained to attack. It was like a level 3 attack dog. I forget what the terminology is. So you have this really like good cop, bad cop thing happening between Jeff, who's like the fun guy, always joking, handing out cash, to Paulette, who's like really anxiously trying to hold everything together behind the scenes.
So the Karpoffs know that they're on a limited amount of time with this Ponzi scheme. Or how are they going to deal with this?
They start moving money overseas into offshore accounts. Mm. They also buy kind of a mansion on the Caribbean island nation, the Caribbean nation of St. Kitts and Nevis. One of the contingency plans that he claimed to have made was that he claimed to have buried $500,000 worth of meth at a cemetery in Martinez.
Of course he did.
Whether that story is true or not, I don't know, but he told someone about it. He said, "Don't worry, if anything goes south, I've got money stashed away in different places, including a bunch of meth in a cemetery." I'm not sure the FBI knew about that before my story, but they do now. I'm not sure if there have been any exhumations since then.
So listeners, hurry. Before the FBI digs this up, there's $500,000 worth of meth in the desert somewhere.
It's pretty wild.
So how does he get busted?
Yeah, so like after, you know, a fairly long, intensive investigation, like 170 vehicles stream out towards DC Solar headquarters.
Wait, 170 vehicles?
It's a lot, yeah. And, you know, they go to his house and they go to DC Solar headquarters. They do have to knock down the door at Jeff Karpoff's house. I think it had to be a bit of a surprise. There were some precautions they had to take. There was a SWAT team.
And what do they find there?
They find a lot of cash.
Like how much cash?
Like I think in Jeff's safe, they found like $1.7 million.
What does that look like? I can't picture like how big a pile that is.
I think it's like a Scrooge McDuck level of cash.
And that's his emergency running away to St. Kitts money.
Yeah, I think it's part of his go bag of like, okay, if I need to get out of here. And the irony is that like he could have left earlier. He probably could have fled the country earlier, but he doesn't do it. And just three days before the raid, he's wearing like a black sequin tuxedo.
Of course.
And partying with Pitbull at the Fairmont Hotel at a holiday party. He's having one more glorious day as Jeff motherfucking Karpoff before it all comes crashing down.
So does he wind up going to trial?
No, he does not wind up going to trial. The U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of California basically gets all of his underlings to flip on him. They all basically make plea agreements. That's going to land them prison time, but less prison time than they get if they went to trial.
Oh, so a lot of people go to prison.
A lot of people go to prison. Yeah, a lot of people. You can't pull off a Ponzi scheme like this without a lot of help. And they're basically cornered. They have nowhere else to go. And they agree to plead guilty to a number of felonies.
How much time does he get?
He gets some 30 years, which is a long time. and his wife, Paulette, she gets about 11 years.
In total, how much did these people scam the government out of?
They wind up scamming these companies and by extension, the U.S. taxpayer out of about $1 billion.
How does Jeff Karpoff compare to the other great scammers of our time, the Bernie Madoffs, the Elizabeth Holmes?
What I like about Jeff Karpoff is that he inverts the traditional Ponzi story. A lot of times Ponzi schemes, especially those involving like mom and pop investors, are duped by like a financial whiz kid who went to way better schools, who has way better connections. This inverts that by making the small town, high school educated little guy who everyone's written off outmaneuver the likes of Warren Buffett, the executives of U.S. Bank, Progressive Insurance. So it's a kind of like, it's a revenge of the little guy against all these big companies who have been screwing the little guy forever. And that's part of what attracted me to the piece.
Ariel Sabar, you wrote the billion-dollar Ponzi scheme that hooked Warren Buffett and the U.S. Treasury for The Atlantic. And it's the story of the week and possibly also the longest headline we've had on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Joel.
As we learned in episode 36, titled The Never-Ending Treasure Hunt, people love to look for buried treasure. Ariel revealed in his story that there is possibly $500,000 worth of methamphetamine under the ground in a cemetery in Martinez, California. Listeners, the Martinez meth treasure hunt is on. Whoever finds this chest will not only have a lifetime supply of stimulants, but a special mention at the end of a future episode. Good luck, and may the best gravedigger win.
Pushkin Industries not responsible for any and all laws broken on the Martinez meth treasure hunt.
At the end of the show, what's next for Joel Stein? Maybe he'll take a nap or poke around online.
Our show today was produced by Kate McAuliffe and Nisha Venkat. It was edited by Lydia Jean Cott. Our engineer is Amanda K. Wang. And our executive producer is Catherine Girardot. And our theme song was written and performed by Jonathan Colton. And a special thanks to my voice coach, Vicky Merrick, and my consulting producer, Lauren Zelaznik. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Joel Stein, and this is Story of the Week.
There's a very, very obscure and exotic financial instrument.
Uh-oh. I don't like this.
Yeah, I know. It's scary. I'll try to make it really simple.
Oh, please.
And it's called a tax equity fund. And what a tax equity...
You've already lost me.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.